Well, good morning. It's good to see everybody that's here this morning. We will go ahead and get started with our call to worship. So if you'll please stand, we will sing number 177. There's something about that name, 177.
Some scripture I want to share with you. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. I love these verses, but I especially love the thought about peace. We only get that peace through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we sure do thank him for allowing us his peace over our peace. A couple announcements. Vacation Bible School meeting, if you're going to be working in Vacation Bible School, that's Monday night at 6 o'clock. Women on Missions is tonight at a quarter till 5. And they'll be meeting in the library. So Women on Missions, this is a new time we're meeting tonight at quarter till 5. And if you're looking at your bulletin, there's an Easter sunrise service the 17th, so be sure to attend that. That's a special time. We sing songs, we look at scripture, and we pray a little bit, and just thank the Lord that he arose from the dead for us. Also, our Annie Armstrong offering was, so far, $20,515, and that's a huge offering for our home mission, so praise God for that. Anybody got any good news you'd like to share or praise, something nice, uplifting, encouraging? For breathing? Anything else? The sun is out. Yes, yes. We're here. Amen. Anybody, anything. Yes. Yes. We did. Had a great potluck. It was a little bit rough on the weather, but you know, you can't separate a Baptist and fried chicken. Anybody else? Good deal. Her son's mission team saw 24 people come to know the Lord in Florida. Anybody? Rocky come through surgery? Rocky came through his surgery, knee surgery. He's in a little bit of pain right now, but he'll get through that. Got time for one more. Uh-oh. Well, David, that was good. I think I'm going to get you to preach for me next week. That's pretty good stuff. All right, we're going to welcome everybody. The way we do that is stand up and shake hands.
I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood, joined us with Jesus as we travel this heart. For I'm part of the family of God. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood, joined us with Jesus as we travel this heart. For I'm part of the family of God.
You can be seated. Since we've been shaking hands, it's real, just so easy to take things for granted, isn't it? You do well. do away with shaking hands, and you sure do miss it. I did read this week that we're going to be hit with another wave of COVID, so we'll see about the handshaking. But anyways, let's pray. Father, Lord, we love you and praise you. You're our God. You're the only God, and we do worship you. And thank you, Lord, for all that you do, especially thinking about Easter time and how you sent your Son to die for us, our sins. And Lord, you loved us enough to have your Son die on that cross so that we could be forgiven for our sins. I pray, Father, for this Easter season that we would be able to use this to witness to people and show them and tell them what God has done in our life, as David's testimony was, Father, to if we've grown up in a godly family, then we ought to share that with others and let them realize what a godly family can do to change their lives. I do thank you, Lord, for godly moms and dads and godly grandparents. And I pray, Lord, that as from one generation to the next, that each one of us would be godly to our own kids. I pray, Father, for this day, that it would just be a day of worship. Lord, that as you allow us into your presence now, as we leave this place, I pray that we would stay in your presence all day long and give you praise and glory for all that you do. And Father, bring us back tonight, and that we would again worship you, meeting in your place. I pray, God, that every person sitting in here would feel the very presence of God. Forgive us, Lord, of our sins, and lead us and guide us in all that we do. I pray for Hillcrest Baptist Church, Lord, that we would be the church that you have called us to be. And thank you, Father, for what you're doing in the new building and the monies that come in to pay for it. And Father, the way you just blessed this church. I thank you, Lord, for the lives that have been saved through witnesses, and Father, that you would continue to use us, Father, to be your witnesses. We love you and praise you, God, and I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
And you may remain seated as we continue on with number 448, Just a Closer Walk with Thee, 448. Time for me will be no more.
gently, safely on to thy kingdom shore, to thy shore. Just a closer walk with thee. Grant it, Jesus, is my plea. Walking close to thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be.
And if you would please stand as we continue on with number 407, Because He Lives, 407.
Sent His Son, they called Him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. He lives, all fear is gone, because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. How sweet to hold a newborn baby. Still, this calm assurance, this child can face uncertain days, because He lives, because He lives. I can face tomorrow, because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. And then one day, across the river, I'll fight life's death gives way to victory. I'll see the light of glory, and I'll know He lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone.
Maybe see.
that is true, striving to please Him in all that I do, yielding allegiance, glad-hearted and free. This is the pathway of blessing for me. O Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to Thee, for Thou in Thine atonement didst give Thyself for me. I own no other master, my heart shall be Thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for Thee alone. Living for Jesus, who died in my place, bearing on Calvary my sin and disgrace. Such love constrains me to answer His call, follow His leading, and give Him my all. O Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to Thee, for Thou in Thine atonement didst give Thyself for me. I own no other master, my heart shall be Thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for Thee alone. Living for Jesus through earth's little while, my dearest treasure, the light of His smile. Seeking the lost ones, He died to redeem, bringing the weary to find rest in Him. O Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to Thee, for Thou in Thine atonement didst give Thyself for me. I own no other master, my heart shall be Thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for Thee alone.
I love You, Lord.
John chapter 15. If you would, turn your Bibles to John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. John 15, 1 through 8. John writes what Jesus says. This is all red letters, so this is Jesus speaking to each one of us. I am the vine, or the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. This is my Father. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Jesus is writing to the Jewish people in a way that they understand things. They knew what a grapevine was and a vineyard was. Today, if you're not a farmer, if you're not a very good gardener, then you have trouble understanding these things. Especially if you suffer allergies at springtime, you probably have mixed feelings about springtime. You get up in the morning and you see things blooming. You see daffodils, Bradford pears, might near every tree in my backyard blooming, front yard blooming, and you really love what you see, but you don't love what you see because you know what it's going to do to you. Allergy sufferers suffer, but they understand what happens during the changing of the season. They understand that the blooms provide for us. Well, Jesus is capturing the springtime and the harvest together to people that understand what he's talking about. And we're going to talk about the vineyard. We're going to understand who he's talking to, what it's all about. He's using a certain imagery of a vine to teach us exactly what God wants us to do. It's kind of a hard message. In fact, this was one of my personal studies. And it was pretty tough to go through because there's some things that we have to look at as we read it, make sure that we're doing what God wants us to do. In the Old Testament times, the Bible pictures Israel as a grapevine or a vineyard. And throughout the Old Testament days, God was always pruning the Israelites. During Jesus' time, they were all over the vineyards. And they were very valuable things to the farmers, the vineyard keepers. Everyone knew back then that a healthy vine produced healthy fruit. An unhealthy branch produced what? Bad fruit or no fruit. Everybody understood that, so we need to realize that up here, that Jesus is talking about a vineyard, but he's actually talking about people. He's talking about us as well. I read this about a vineyard. It's planted for different purposes than a flower garden and somewhat different from a vegetable garden. So I kept on reading about that. We plant flower gardens for their beauty. Rhonda likes zinnias, so we plant those in our backyard so that she can pick them, cut them, and bring them in the house. We admire the beauty. We plant vegetable gardens. Some of you are a whole lot better than some of us, but we plant vegetable gardens for what they produce that summer so that we can can them to eat off of them later on. But a vineyard's a little bit different. It's not planted for 1 year at a time. It's planted for years and years and years. And as it produces fruit, then it's pruned, which produces more fruit. If it doesn't produce fruit, then guess what they do? They prune it and throw it in the fire, the part that doesn't. So as we look at this, realize that in God's eyes, a vineyard is planted, taken care of by the vine dresser. And as they plant it, they're not just planting it for 1 year. Many, many years. In fact, some of them are 50 years and older, and they're not just like in my garden, it's 10 by 10. It's acres of grapevines. So as we look at it today, I want you to realize that this is not a grapevine we're talking about. It's Hillcrest Baptist Church. It's Jerry. It's you. And all these things that we're going to hear about have to do with our life. So let's start out in verse 1, and there's actually four characters I want us to look at today, and we'll see two of them in verse 1. Verse 115:1, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. We see Father, God, as the vine dresser of the vineyard, and Jesus is the vine. The vine dresser is the farmer who cares for the vines. He tills the ground. He prunes the grapevines. He cultivates and fertilizes the soil. He controls the weeds and insects. He waters and cares for the whole vineyard, and he does this all year long. Some of the vineyards require more than just his help. He needs help to do it. He cares for his vineyard as long as they stay healthy and produce fruit. Remember who the vine dresser is. He's God the Father. So this was my personal study, and as I read that, Jesus or God is our vine dresser, I wanted to put my Bible down and think through this. What's God the Father mean to me? What do I mean to God the Father? I've heard this week that one of our brothers and sisters are depressed and they don't feel like they have much worth to God. Now hear what I have to say. God is telling us through all the work he does to keep us and to save us and to provide for us that he loves us. Doesn't matter what we're going through, he loves each and every one of his children. He never gives up on us. He continues to prune us, to fertilize the soil, to take care of, to give us nutrients. He continues all that stuff because of the tremendous love that God the Father has for us. So that's the Father. He cares for his vineyard. He cares for each vine in the vineyard. He's the Father, and we're his vineyard. God has a lot invested in his vineyard. Number one, he's got John 3:16, for God so loved his vineyard that he gave his only begotten son for us. The main vine in our story is Jesus. Now we're going to look at Jesus in just a few minutes. But let's look at the other two characters in verses 5 and 6. So if you would, read with me John chapter 15, verses 5 and 6. I am the vine, you are the branches. This is Jesus talking. So Jesus is the vine and we are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they're burned. The vine, Jesus, he's the one that provides for everything. But let's look at us. We're the branches. There are two kinds of branches. That branch that's connected to Jesus, the vine, will either produce some kind of fruit, or according to these two verses, they don't produce fruit. And what happens to the ones that don't produce fruit? They burn. They're cast into a pile and burned. Those that do produce fruit, they produce fruit because they abide in Jesus and Jesus abides in them. So again, let's take a moment to think about this. Now this was with me talking to me when I'm preparing this. I'm the branch that's connected to Jesus, the vine. Jesus has given me nutrients so that I can produce fruit. I have a choice to make. I either produce fruit and Jesus continues to prune me, or I don't produce fruit, and what's the verse say? You're cut off and you're burned. Well, that ought to scare the socks off of us. There's where I got hung up on this. Fruit comes in different ways. It's not just lost souls that get won to Christ. David, when you were talking about your dad, and Susan, your dad, and Shane, your dad, and evidently they produce pretty good fruit because you guys are here today. But I want you to think about all those dads and moms that are not producing fruit. And some of those that are not producing fruit grew up in church, yet they're not coming to church now. Not even mom and dad are coming to church. So what are the kids going to do? They're going to stay home. What's that say to somebody that has been brought up in the Lord but then quit coming, to have nothing to do with the Lord anymore? And there are a lot of Christians that have fallen away from serving God and from being part of the family of God. So that kind of caused my heart to break. You know, as a pastor, I've got a job to do. I need to reach out to those people. You need to reach out to those people, because who in the world wants somebody pruned and thrown into the fire as long as we are able to say something to them? David, you've told us Wednesday after Wednesday how you witness to the people you work with. We don't want anybody to be thrown in that fire, do we? Shake your head, no. All right. We can help this fruit growing process just by witnessing to people and living the right kind of life. This one just kind of really, it just kind of really threw me for a loop just thinking about it. Verse 5 starts out, I am the vine. I am. Jesus is the great I am. He is the vine that feeds the branch. And so I wrote down some things that Jesus does as I am. He made a whole lot of I am statements throughout the New Testament, throughout his time. He not only said, I am the vine, he said, I am the bread of life. Well, as he's the vine, he's given us the bread of life. I'm the light of the world. He's feeding that into us as the branch connected to the vine. I'm the sheep's door. I'm the good shepherd. Jesus is living his life just forcing his nutrients to us. I'm the resurrection and the life. Man, that ought to set all of us on fire. He died and he resurrected, and because we believe in him, we're going to be resurrected. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Let me tell you, it's life more abundant, by the way. So many of the I am statements is Jesus, the vine, telling us what he's going to be doing for us. We can't hardly not bear fruit if Jesus is the light to us, if he's the bread of life to us, if he's the way to us, and the resurrection of life. He's just feeding that nutrient stuff to us. And as branches, we must bear some kind of fruit. And then Jesus uses the title, as he uses the title, I am, takes you all the way back to Moses' time. Remember when Moses said, well, who in the world do I tell them that sent me? And God says to Moses, tell them I am sent you, the great I am. And we know that's God the Father, and Jesus just said, I am. And he's telling us, I'm God too. We need to understand that God and Jesus are the same. John 10 and 30. I and my Father are one. The last part of verse 5. And without me, you can do absolutely nothing. Again, this is personal to me. I went back to those days that I wasn't walking with God. And my life was not producing fruit, not spiritual fruit. If God would have taken my life back 35 years ago, I'm not sure what would have happened. Through those 35 years here lately, he's been feeding the branch, nutrients, his word, his guidance, just oozing out. So I'm writing down things that I know that God did for me, and he's also done for you. Number one, he gives us life. You can't have life without Jesus. Number two, he gives us forgiveness for our sins. These are just simple, but we need to be reminded. Thank you, God, for forgiving me. Anybody ever committed sin? Yeah. Rotten sin. The more, it seems to me, now this is just Jerry speaking, but it seems like the more rotten sin that we've committed, the more forgiveness means to us. Did that come out right? Did you understand what I just said? Man, I was so thankful to realize how much Jesus forgave me and the love that was required to forgive me. So he gives us life, and more abundant life, by the way, and he gives us forgiveness for our sins. And by the way, that comes through the cross. Number three, he gives us mercy and grace. That's what's oozing through the vine to the branches. Mercy and grace. And I have a feeling that all of us need that mercy every so often, don't we? We need that grace every so often. It's just oozing. It's just coming out. It's just coming out. Number four, I love this one. He gives us a new heart, a new creation when we're born again. He takes that old crumb-bum person, that old sinful person, and I don't know how he does it, but he does it. He comes into our life. The Bible says he abides in us. We abide in him. We're given that new heart, and we start looking like Jesus. That nutrients is coming out from the vine to the branches, and we're the branches. Number five, he gives us flowers and beauty, fruit. Flowers, children, friends, church. This is, again, just me talking. But I got two families. I got the ones that we raised, and I got you guys. And as I look around, every Sunday I look around, whether you know it or not, I'm looking. And I sure appreciate you guys, your flowers, to me. Some of you are really pretty flowers. All of you are really pretty flowers. I'm looking this way as I'm talking now. But that's what the Lord does for us. He changes that heart where an old sinner like me can look and see flowers and see beauty. And sometimes he makes it so, I don't know how to say this, but I see such flowers and such beauty that it's hard for me to understand how we don't all see the beauty that God gives us. But that's what he does. He's always, the nutrients coming from the vine to the branch. He gives us strength and protection. It takes strength to be a child of God, especially today. It takes strength to take a stand on the Bible and know what you've read and studied and just, this is it. It's black and white. There's no gray area. It takes God's strength. Sometimes it takes God's protection because we do get attacked because of who we are in Christ. He prunes us so that we can produce new fruit. You cannot just sit in a pew and produce fruit. He prunes us. Anybody got any pruning shears? And those pruning shears will cut a branch that thick. I mean, they're strong. Well, God's the vine dresser. He knows how to prune. He prunes us so that we can bear fruit. And then look what he does in verse 8. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so that you will be my disciples. When we're his disciples, he allows us a close fellowship with him, where we actually abide in him and he abides in us. He lives with us. He lives within us. The vine dresser looks for fruit, and if he doesn't find fruit, what's the Bible say? He's going to prune it and throw it in the fire. So let's keep going and look at verse 2. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. The fruit-bearing branch must be pruned. If it's not pruned, it's not going to bear fruit continually. The more pruning, the more fruit. Again, I'm not a very good farmer, but I've grown some tomatoes here lately. And where the main stem goes up and then a branch goes off, and right there in the middle, whatever you call that, where the branch and the vine meet, there's another little thing that pops up called what? A sucker. And if you let those suckers go, don't they overtake the tomato bush and you don't get as many tomatoes? So what do we do with those suckers? We yank them out before they rob the tomato plant of all the nutrients that it needs to produce good tomatoes. That much I understand. But sometimes those suckers just look good enough where you don't want to prune them. They go straight up, they're healthy looking, and then you look at the one that's supposed to be bearing fruit and it's not. Now that's a theological term. So we know what pruning does. And that's what God knows too. He prunes those suckers out of us. Sometimes those suckers are sinful living that he has to prune out. When you're living in a sinful way, you can't hardly produce good fruit. That sucker just, it takes the abundant life out of our lives. It robs us of the peace and joy that God gives us. So God has to do something with it. He prunes it and gets rid of it. And then he makes us into healthy, healthy branches where we start producing fruit. And then verse 3, in order to produce fruit, you're already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Fruit bearers are cleaned up by God's word. Jesus' life that we live in, that we try to emulate, we try to be Christ-like, don't we? The more we're Christ-like, the more we live in the word, and the more fruit we produce. The Word of God disciplines us, but it also teaches us exactly how God expects us to walk. And then a third way to produce fruit is in verses 4 and 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. And if anyone look for verse 4, abide in me and I in you as you... A branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. So there's the deal about abiding in Christ. And abiding in Christ means allowing him to have his way in your life. Now again, let's pause a minute. Fruit spiritual is Christ-likeness. It's studying our Bible. It's having a great prayer life. It's being active in church. It's being committed. It's being surrendered to God. These are the things that God is looking for as he abides in us. So how does your life look to the Lord? This is where it became really personal to me. Lord, what do you see in my life? Do you see somebody that needs to study more? Do you see somebody that needs to pray more? What do I need to do, Lord, to be allow you to have your way with my life? That's a biggie. That's a hard one. There are so many things to get our attention that will take us away from this thing every single time. Our focus will be wrong if we let those things suck the abundant life out of us, those suckers. Everybody in here has a different way of losing your focus in the Lord. We have to allow the Lord to abide in us, to lead us. I want to kind of wind this down, looking at the amount of fruit in some of these verses. Chapter 15, verse 2. there's two amounts in this verse. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. What did that sentence just say? How much fruit is involved in that? Zero. If you don't bear fruit, it's taken away. But then look at the last part of verse 2. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear. So there's no fruit and there's more fruit. But then go to verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. So we see no fruit, more fruit, much fruit. Out of the same vineyard. Somewhere I read that 50% of all Christians bear little fruit. Only about 5% bear a lot of fruit. What do you think about that statement? 50% of Christians bear little or no fruit. You believe it? Nay or nay? It's scary to think about it, but that's the truth, I'll bet. What do you think God thinks when he sees 50% of his children, his vineyard, bearing just a little bit of fruit? That's not the way he explained church in the book of Acts, is it? So here's the clicker, the kicker, the last thing I want to ask you. What kind of fruit bearer are you? Zero? More fruit or much fruit? The Bible says his disciples will bear much fruit. I put it aside. I close my Bible. And I pray. Lord, what do you see in me? Do I bear little fruit, zero fruit, or much fruit? What do you see at Hillcrest Baptist Church? Your vineyard producing zero fruit, little fruit, or more fruit? We produce fruit at Hillcrest Baptist Church. I would characterize us as from more fruit to much fruit. But there are other times when we don't bear too much fruit. They're just differences in churches, I guess. But don't you know that we can improve on the fruit bearing, whether it's somewhere between more and much or between zero and more? Couldn't we improve on our fruit bearing at Hillcrest Baptist Church? I know we could. I know God expects it. This is a really simple message. But it's a message straight from God to get hold of his people at church, to make us realize that we can't be lazy. We can't just rely on somebody else. We have to bear fruit, all of us. We bear fruit together. We bear fruit individually. Here's the neat thing, and I'll close with this. We're God's vineyard, and he abides in his vineyard. He supplies the nutrients for his vineyard. He never leaves his vineyard. He loves his vineyard. He cares for us deeply. I don't know about you, but I want to tell God right now, thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you guys for being part of his vineyard. Let's pray. Lord, we do love you and praise you and thank you, Lord, that you're the vine dresser. Thank you, Jesus, that you're the vine. Thank you, Lord, that we belong to you. We come to you through the cross. We accept you as our Savior because we believe that you were put to death on the cross and buried and resurrected. We have faith in that. Father, because of the blood of Jesus, we can be part of your vineyard. So I pray today, Father, that if there's anybody that has heard this message, that they're not part of your vineyard, they're not part of your vine, they're not connected to Jesus, Father, let them realize that they need you. And Lord God, you're willing to graft them into your vineyard. You're willing to accept them as a child of God if they repent of their sins. But the rest of us, Father, that know you and been saved by you, I pray, Lord, that we'd look at our life. Are we producing fruit or not? How much fruit are we producing? Father, are we on the scale of little fruit, more fruit, or much fruit? Help us all to determine, Lord, in our hearts to bear much fruit, to do what we can, Lord, to increase the kingdom of God by bearing fruit. Forgive us, Lord, of our sins and guide us through this time of invitation. And I pray this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you've never made a decision for Jesus, I invite you to come forward and say, Brother Jerry, I need Jesus. And I'll pray with you and we'll make sure that you know how to invite Jesus into your heart. My brothers and sisters in Christ, if you don't feel close to God right now, then ask him to wrap his arms around you and let him be your Lord. Let him just abide in you. When you abide in him, realize that he loves you. He cares for you. Let's stand, and if God speaks to your heart, just acknowledge what he's talking to you about and be obedient.
Back. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. No turning back, no turning back. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back.
Brian, would you close us?